Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball. It's Monday afternoon, and there's a lot of sports going on over the weekend. Some good, some bad. But a busy day today. We'll probably talk here for a few minutes before we get to Joseph Blair, who's in Texas. He's the head coach of the Vipers in the G League. They're doing okay. They were doing better earlier, but they won a big game over the weekend. So we'll talk to him about at 1:18 or so this afternoon, then talk a little bit more about sports and what's going on locally. And then at the 2 o'clock hour, I'm glad to have former baseball coach at the U of A, Andy Lopez, one of the good guys of the business. I think he's been retired 2 or 3 years now. I think maybe going on his third year. Lucky him, but I thought he retired at a very young age, about 62. If I could have that luck, I would do it.
You still got a few years, right?
Me?
You're not 62 yet, are you?
I only look it and act it.
No. I was saying you got a few more years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Is that a compliment?
I hope it is. It was just a general observation. Hey, what is G League? Is that like it sounds like a train set. You know, they have G series and stuff. I never heard of G League.
Yeah, I forget. You're not the sports guy.
Is that under, you told me not to be a sports guy.
Yeah.
I've purposely been emptying my brain. Is it go from AAA to 2A and A?
No.
Oh, good thing.
Good question. For those who do not know, it's the NBA, obviously, is the main league, is the league. And then forever it was called the D League, the Developmental League. And now it's called the G League over the last 2-3 years because Gatorade has taken it over. Now it's the G League.
So it's actually called G League, or they're just calling it G League because Gatorade is...
for that reason, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the McDonald's All-Star Game, this is the...
McDonald's All-Star
League game. Sponsored by Gatorade.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
Yeah. So they're the ones just below the NBA. They get called up every now and again to the NBA.
They're like farm teams.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
How many are there?
Oh man, you're going to give me questions I don't know. Maybe anywhere from 18 to 20. I think not every team has one. I think I could be wrong. I was in the standings today and I didn't see that many, maybe 20.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, a lot. It's Europe, smaller scale pro leagues, and then they have G League, which is the place where like a lot of the some of the U of A players used to play, like Raleigh Alkins is on there.
Okay.
Right now. Alonzo Trier signed a 2-way where he could play with the Knicks and play with his AAA team or G League team. Go back and forth, but he's doing so well, he'll probably never play there.
They're still considered pro, though, right?
Oh, yeah, it's pro. You get paid. It's a decent salary now, and they've improved a lot of things over the years, making them more money, and I'm sure their accommodations are better.
So other than the United States, as far as pro basketball, who would be the next country behind us that has the most enthusiasm or biggest league, per se?
Well, in Europe, they have a lot of leagues, and I know in Japan they have some too. China, very popular. There's a lot of the guys, like, let's say, Joseph Blair, who we'll have on later. He played overseas, had a very nice, comfortable living, learned a lot of languages, had a good life out there. Corey Williams, who we've had on the show, has played out there. There's a number of UA players that have played overseas and have made a pretty good career out of their life. They play maybe 5, 10, 20, not 20 years, maybe 5, 10 years.
Nice. They make a good living
I want to guess and probably be wrong, but maybe at least 200,000, if that works. With a lot of the other accommodations already paid for, like housing and stuff like that.
Yeah, so they're living in federal housing. Yeah. And
they're living
in food stamps.
Yeah.
And so are there Steve Rivera equivalents in Japan and China that cover these teams?
Sorry to say, yes. Probably better looking than me, yes.
Do you know any? I would love.
One. I know a guy who worked in Arizona. He moved to Japan. I think it's Japan. And now he covers the pros in Japan.
I would love to hear you talk to your equivalent, over there on either XM
Como
or radio.
Como estás usted? Yeah, somewhere else in the world.
Arribato, como está?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd have to get a translator. As my dad would say when we played ball, we need a catcher for the catcher. Need a translator for the translator.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Was there some sort of a basketball game yesterday?
Yeah. I'm guessing you did not watch it.
No, I got an update on my phone, and
it blew up.
And I instantly swiped it, and I went, oops. And then I searched on the internet, and then was glad I missed it because we lost by 3 points. Mm-hmm. Now, was it as close as that? Or
it was at times, but Arizona fell back about 19 points in the first half.
Oh, my goodness.
Something they did earlier in the week, if you recall, against Utah Valley. But Utah Valley was not that good, so they were able to catch up. U of A was able to catch up and go away with it. But they fell back 19 points in the first half. Didn't play well at all, obviously, in the first half. They closed it to within 9 at the half. And then struggled to get back, took a little lead early, midway through the second half, and then lost it in the end.
Who was the leading scorer for the U of A?
Oh,
yesterday?
It was your guy, Chase
really?
G. Yeah, he had a very good game, very consistent game, but that's who he is. He's a very consistent guy underneath the basket. The problem with him is he doesn't have any help underneath the basket, where Arizona was beat a number of times to rebounds, specifically in the last few minutes where Alabama picked up 3 straight rebounds and scored on those possessions, and that was kind of the difference in the game.
Is that going to be your question to the coach tomorrow? What are you going to do about rebounds?
Well, that was one of the things that he spoke about yesterday to reporters that were out there. He said, and I guess according to Bruce, and at least in his story, that Miller was pretty upset with how they played.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is right, you know, that's
understandable. But he showed it?
Yeah, apparently.
He said, I am very upset.
No. He shows it at times. Yeah. I mean, you've only caught this glimpse of what you see. But no. He can get that way many times and has many times.
So, Jeter, 20 points?
19, I think. 19, uh-oh. a career high. He might have had more than that, but that's what I think right now. I think he had 19. A good game, a very good game, very consistent. Randolph had, I think, 16. Williams had 15 in those areas, but they got nothing from the bench again. Let me tell you something. If it happens once, okay, and it happened once. It happened twice, okay. You know it's going to happen some more times. It's just not a capable or very good bench.
So were they going to the bench because of trying to get people rested or because of foul trouble?
Both. Well, not so much foul trouble, but they need help on the bench. They have to go to them no matter what,
sure,
because they have no other choice. But they need production from that bench. Mm-hmm. Whether they get them or get it or not, that's the case. That's going to be seen. Can he get it from them? I'm not sure they're capable. You're going to get what you get from Barcelona. Not a whole lot. Maybe right. 5 minutes. Productive-wise or production-wise, maybe 4 points, a couple rebounds, maybe an assist. Ira Lee has been kind of disappointing to this point. He hasn't really helped offensively and is a little, kind of, looks a little lost, if I can say. He looks a little lost out there.
Those are your lead second string?
Smith, Dylan Smith. I'm just rolling them off now. Right. Dylan Smith is probably the lead guy.
Yeah.
They definitely need more than him offensively.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're going to get it from him offensively because it's not looking good. And then there's one more, and I can't think off the top of my head. It's just not any good. The kid from Pittsburgh. Who's not doing as much as he probably should, his name's escaped me now. I'm getting old, as everyone knows. But it's a fun team to watch if you're patient enough to watch them, and you don't get frustrated in watching them because compared to last year, they're playing hard, trying hard, but just got beat.
Do the practices when you have a defeat like that versus let's say if they came from behind and improved their rebounding and, say, pulled ahead and won by 5 or 10 or 6 or 8 or whatever, does that affect how Miller is going to practice during the week?
Yeah, I don't know because we're not allowed. We have never been allowed to his practices. Never.
From what you heard, you have wall?
What do you mean?
Somebody who's
no.
a janitor, you know, like a that. Guy inside the White House that
no.
says inside
no,
sources.
No, nor do I care how, and that's the honest truth. This is not Lute's time where we had open practice. No, it's his job. He can get them going. I'm sure the practices are the same. In fact, he spoke about that yesterday, how they don't have enough practice or didn't last week to get ready for a team like Alabama because they're coming back from a game like they were last week.
Yeah.
Travel. They're restricted because of NCAA rules, how many times they can practice. They have to get their time off. and then they had to get back on the road right away. So they didn't practice as much as they should have last week.
Okay, good.
Or they could have.
That,
or should have.
That answer is kind of where yeah. I was going.
But now, to the difficulty, I don't know. I don't know.
Now, in the old days with loot, what did you see? Did you see like a more intense, more yeah. hollering and screaming? If they
no,
just
it was just more intense. More intense. Depends if they went. If they failed the rebound in the game, he would get them through more drills.
Okay,
and probably
sense.
They hated it, but it was what it was. I mean, you're there to play basketball and get better at it.
Yeah.
So how do you get better at it? By working hard and getting better at it.
Makes sense.
Hey, let's go to a break real quick and get Joseph Blair on the other side.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
My heat and air were in a state of disrepair. My drains were clogged. I was really in despair. So I called some guy. You've never seen such a mess. And every time he leaned over, well, you can probably guess. Now I get it done right by Picture Rocks Cooling. They're neat and clean, peachy keen. Really no fooling. Got a problem? Just call up and help is coming. Picture Rocks Cooling.
I want to remind you this Christmas season that the best gifts we can give to others do not fit in a box. Hi, I'm Pastor Roy Tallgren, Executive Director of Gospel Rescue Mission. You can't wrap up a box of love, attention, kindness, hope, or your time. However, it is these gifts that mean the most to your loved ones and friends. At Gospel Rescue Mission, we share these gifts every day with broken men, women, and children who are desperately searching for someone who cares. This Christmas season, remember to take time to bless others by simply sharing yourself. Your support of Gospel Rescue Mission makes a positive impact in the lives of our homeless and working poor neighbors. Find out how you can help at grmtucson.com. Remember, the best gifts we can give do not fit in a box. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored.
Gospel Rescue Mission, there is something you can do.
Ah, the sounds of autumn. A babbling brook. Birds chirping. A cool fall wind. A gentle rain.
What? I can't stand this. I hate that sound. I hate when my car won't start. I don't want to live.
Don't let that sound ruin your fall season. Take your car to Ramsauer's Automotive on the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge or at ramsauersauto.com.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm now on the phone with Joseph Blair. Good afternoon, Joseph.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Good to hear from you. How are things going? Are you physically in Texas or are you on the road with the team?
We just got back last night, so I'm in Texas now.
Okay, great. I think you just had a big win, right, on Saturday? A huge win? Nice, close win?
We did. It was a really big win. One of the best and the first place team in our conference hadn't lost at home, and we went and got a win on the road. So yep. It was a big, super win, big win for us.
Let me tell people where you're at and what you're doing in case they do not know. You're now the head coach in the G League with the Rio Grande Vipers. How is it one seat over or two seats over now that you're the head guy there?
A lot hasn't changed also just because of the fact that last year we only had two coaches, myself and Matt Brazzi.
Mm-hmm.
So we had kind of had a very, very good collaborative work arrangement working together. So there's a lot I learned, but obviously when you're in the head seat, more pressure falls upon you. But it's been a great experience for me, leadership-wise, coaching-wise. I'm learning a lot, so I'm excited about it. I'm still super passionate about coaching and even more passionate now that I'm the head of the ship, I guess.
Yeah, and talking to Matt maybe last summer when he was here visiting, he said that you had a very good future in coaching because, one, you're relatable to the guys. You've been there. You've been able to do some of the things that they're doing. How do you feel about your future in this business?
I mean, I'm completely optimistic the way I have to be successful at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love what I do, that's for sure, and I think that's the number one thing. When you're passionate about everything, your passion shines through, and my thing also is just being able to affect the lives of the guys that I'm working with as well in a positive manner. I think if you can create that culture around any environment, it's bound to thrive, and that's what we're hoping to do down here. That's what I'm hoping to do down here, and that's just what I'm looking to do. Like I said, it's a great experience because I'm kind of in that league where it's a stepping stone out of college, but also you're playing professionally, but still learning to be a professional. So part of my job, I believe, is just trying to teach these guys how to be more professional with everything they do and their outlook on the game being that of transitioning from class and basketball to just basketball. I think I have more rookies on my team than any other team in the league right now.
So yep.
It's been a heck of a transition this year, but it's an exciting one as well. I'm fulfilled.
I know you're still fit. You're as fit as ever, probably. Even when I covered you, you're probably more fit now. You look great. Are you out there maybe battling with these guys, kind of teaching them as well?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you very much. I work very hard at this.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
I definitely understand what you're saying, but I will say that I've been lucky. I don't know if it's luck or not, but I'm in the position now where I don't actually have to get on the floor and do those type of things. I bring in staff to do that because one of the hardest parts about that is even in the last couple of years when I was still doing it is it's very hard to get a grand scheme of the entire drill when you're in the drill.
Yeah.
Because I'm too concerned on what I need to do, my role inside of running whatever drill or going against the guys in certain ways. So you'll miss what's happening on the weak side of the ball or someone that might be in the wrong position. So it's much more difficult as a head coach to be able to be in the drill. So now I have someone that does that. That way I get an overall scheme and grasp of how we're playing the defense typically when I'm in for or offense, whatever it might be, whatever the drill dictates.
Right, right.
So not as much as I'd like to be, but I still do my best to stay in shape. You know, I like to say I try to keep the Ferrari body with the Toyota engine. As long as it starts every morning but still looks good, that's all I'm worried about.
That's cool. I have a Toyota on a Toyota, so it's not so good. It's not so good. Hey, you've been gone from U of A, at least as a player, for 20-some years now, 22, I think. Does it feel like 22 and these days?
You know, it's crazy because I was just saying this to somebody the other day. It doesn't at all feel like it's been that long, and I don't know if it's just my, you know, you're as old as you feel, and I don't feel that old, or it's just a matter of also, you know, being a part of the U of A as a coaching staff, too. I still feel so attached to the program.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't feel like I've been away for that long. And also still maintaining myself in the basketball world, it kind of, you always relate back to when I was in college and dealing with the players I have now on my team coming straight out of college. You know, they talk so much about it that it constantly makes me think about when I was in college as well and then my time coaching at the U of A as well. So it just doesn't seem that far removed, and it's amazing it's been that long. But, you know, I'm blessed that I'm still involved in basketball in some way or another, and I can pass down the wisdom to these guys of what it means to play at a real university like the University of Arizona.
In fact, well, I looked at the roster earlier today, and I said, I don't recognize many of the names, and you're saying that they're the youngest team in the G League.
Yeah, we're definitely full of rookies right now, and so it's a difficult job for me because I'm trying to teach them the type of offense we run. You know, we run the same offense as the Houston Rockets. So to try to get them to understand the positioning and why we do it. And a lot of these guys were, as you said, you didn't recognize a lot of the names. A lot of them were at mid-major schools or weren't the biggest name at the school, but most of them were at the star player on a smaller college. And, you know, when you get to those guys, the coach typically says, give him the ball, move out the way, and let him do what he does. And that's not what we're, how we play. That's not our style of play. And also, quite frankly, you're not going to be successful in this league playing that way, with that level of talent. So a lot of my job is just trying to unlearn them from a lot of things that they learned and a lot of habits they formed in college so they can be more successful. And, you know, I tell all the guys at the end of the year, if I do my job right, you won't be with me at the end of the year because an NBA team will call you up.
Right,
or
right.
Get offered a huge job overseas and you'll leave us anyway. And that's what I really want, is to maximize their potential so they can be the best player they can be, not just for my team, but moving forward with their careers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Is your job is to prep them for the next level or try to win some games? I guess it would be both.
It's a little bit of both. Obviously, we want to win games. That's, you know, there's no question about that. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we're, our, part of our job is player development, to develop them into the best players they can be. And especially when you have certain players that are on Exhibit 10 contracts or they're assignee players down from the Rockets or two-way players, my job is to get them ready to possibly play with the Rockets and in the Rockets offense.
Have you, in your coaching this last month or so you started, have you met or run into any of the former UVA players?
Let's see. Not as of yet. I have quite a few coming up, actually. You know, we play this Thursday against Delaware. Then we'll play this weekend against Gabe Yorko with the Lakeland Magic. And, in the past years, we've had a couple that played against for sure. You know, we're going against, Brandon Ashley quite a few times. Caleb Tarzewski back a couple years back as well when he was still with OKC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's quite a few players that we ran through, so I'm sure it's going to continue to happen this year in particular. I have to say, I was looking forward to playing Alonzo Chir, but if he's with the G League team, then the Knicks are definitely making some mistakes.
Right. No, he's got a great year so far. We were talking about Europe and stuff. My producer and I, Bob, your life on the road in Europe or and wherever you went, how good was that? And when, how many languages did you learn?
Well, first let me start with the languages because that's the easier question. You know, I speak fluent Italian. I understand Spanish good enough. I'm not really a great Spanish speaker, and I can curse you out in about three other little languages because that's the first thing you typically learn when you go to whatever country.
That's very true. Very true.
But I would say my life in Europe is defined who I am as a man. I could look at it so much and what it gave to me as my basketball career, and that's you know, you learn a lot of work ethic, the pressure, because now back when I played, it was only two Americans per team. Now it's much different. But, you know, if you're only two Americans, they're expecting a lot of you. But really, the more so it defined me as a man, just to understand, to give me a worldly perspective on everything and the way I live, and to be able to be a part of different cultures and assimilate with those cultures and have different perspectives given to me firsthand, not through any media outlets, not through any other person, but to sit and talk with different people. You know, I've been blessed where I played, where, you know, I was in Italy, Turkey, Greece, Russia, France. Each one of those countries is so diverse in the people and rich in culture that you have an opportunity to learn from each one of those people, just as individuals in a humanistic way.
Yeah.
On the basketball court also, each one of those are different style of plays as well, and the way they coach, the way they relate to the players, and also the way the players perceive basketball as a whole and the way they absorb information. So it's been a great experience for me, and I think that the humanistic side of things is what really helped me develop to be the best I could be as a leader, as a coach, and also any other endeavor I take, whether it's working in the Tucson community with my charity or if it's doing any other business side and even relate to my family.
Yeah. I know you got to go, but one of the things I ask all my guests or most of my guests is, what would they tell the young Joseph Blair, whoever they are, young Joseph Blair, from what they've learned to this point in their lives, maybe to redo things or to be aware of?
You know, it's a difficult question because you can look back and say all the things you would tell you to make a big difference in your life, but if you do any of that, I would not be the man I am today. It's every mistake I made and every success I had created the man I am today, which I thank God that I've become. So if you take away one fault, I'd lose everything, every lesson I learned from that fault.
No,
so
yeah.
There's nothing I would say other than just to have faith in the process, honor the process, and keep my head up the entire time. You know, there's times when I think I let myself, obviously, my last year at the university was more of a depressing moment than most people could ever imagine for me. And the way I finished at the U of A, and I guess to understand that that was part of the process to make me the man I am today.
No, that's
and just to constantly have faith.
No, that's exactly a perfect perspective because from 96 and the circumstances until now, you've been unbelievable. A lot of charity work in this town, a lot of good things going on with you in your life.
I appreciate you saying so.
Yeah. Well, you're a friend. I see you every now and again when you're in town, when you're not too busy doing your handshaking and kissing babies and we're going to run for mayor or something. I'm not sure what you're doing.
Well, whatever I do, you better support me. That's all I know.
Well, you know I will. You know I will. Well, great to talk to you, Joseph. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure, Steve. And just a big shout-out to everyone in Tucson. I miss you guys. I miss being around. I miss just being a part of that community, the environment. It's something that stays in my heart wherever I go, and I hope everyone knows and acknowledges that. It's one of the biggest the hardest things for me to deal with is just being away from Tucson.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Joseph. Take care, babe.
All right, Steve.
All right, JB. Hey, you're listening to Eye on the Ball here. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and we'll be right back.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
This Christmas season, get in the holiday spirit with Messiah. Handel's pulse-pounding, earth-shaking proclamation of the birth of Jesus, performed by the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Bruce Chamberlain, and featuring the full TSO chorus. One of the great choral masterpieces of all time, Handel's Messiah will be performed live in the intimate and acoustically designed concert hall at Catalina Foothills High School. Performances are Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. with a matinee Sunday, December 16th at 2. Handel's Messiah is extremely popular and last year's performances sold out. Tickets are now available at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org with a 50% discount available for children under 18. Handel's Messiah, Saturday and Sunday, December 15th and 16th at Catalina Foothills High School. Tickets at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org.
Yes, Mr. Willard.
Julie, I just got in. There's no coffee and there wasn't any soap in the restroom. And we're out of copy paper. What's up?
Sorry, we have so many vendors. It's just so hard to keep track of them all.
Well, can't we get our products from one supplier?
There is a solution. Gibson's Office Solutions. Hi, I'm Matt Ewing.
And I'm Josh Ewing.
Give us a call today at 622-6738.
Or visit us online at gibsonsaz.com. Gibson's, your number one source for all things office.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
When you see a bicyclist, remember, cyclists are friends, neighbors, and family members. From the Tucson Police Department, here is Chief Chris Magnus with a life-saving message for all motorists.
Every year in and around Tucson, bicyclists are hit, injured, or killed. Arizona law requires that you must give at least 3 feet of clearance when you pass a cyclist. Safety is everyone's responsibility. A moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret. Give cyclists at least 3 feet when passing. It's the law. Brought to you by Look, Save a Life.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Make sure you RSVP for our Christmas Hanukkah party at WUTEvents@gmail.com. Tuesday show, Steve Rivera, Jonathan Hoffman, Susan French from the Festivals and Events Association. We're going to do it once more for 4 hours, 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KBOI, Trusted News and Talk. Hey, I like talking to JB a lot. He's one of those good guys. I covered him 22 years ago when he finally finished, and he was here for 4 years, helped the team get to the Final Four in 94. Good guy.
It's nice to hear him talk about leading young men and what it's all about, as opposed to getting a win, got to get a win, you know.
Yeah, he's kind of like my you've probably never met him. Big imposing guy, kind of like my Barry White guy. How you doing? Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, but that photo with him in the beard, that's exactly what he looks like, or Isaac Hayes or something. He's almost 7 foot tall.
Yeah, he's
isn't
about
he?
6'9", 6'10".
Wow.
Looks great. He was a lot bigger in college, but now he's slimmed down. He's a vegan, so eats right and does all that exercise. I would never do that. I could never do that. Would he even try?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why he's a vegan, because I'm sure if he wanted to eat a bear, he could just find one and beat it up.
Well, I think he used to eat bears, not anymore so much. It's all vegetables and all that good stuff. Because he's great on Instagram and all the social media, because he used to play for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
So he does all those tricks things, and he put those on the internet, and he does all these kind of crazy moves.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So let's go back to talk about U of A. So the guy I couldn't remember his name is Ryan Luther. I don't know why, but I just couldn't remember. What's your name, Bob?
Ryan Luther.
No, no, what's your name?
Bob Dio.
Yeah, okay. I can remember.
Sorry.
So they need – Arizona definitely needs – the starting five has to do what it does, and that's, you know, Randolph's got to score about 15, and he's doing that. Williams, the same thing, and he's doing that. They need help from Acott. Acott's not doing as much as he can to. I think yesterday he went 2-for-7, had 7 points.
Yikes.
Shot some three-pointers that were kind of out of ordinary, out of place, but he hit a couple of them. He had a couple. I think he had hit two all year, and he hit two yesterday. So they need more production from him. I think Jeter's doing what he can do, but it's a finished guy inside. He's the only guy. There's trouble there, but he's doing what he can. And then Justin Coleman is doing what he can in the backcourt. He didn't have a great game. He went back home to the state of Alabama and didn't play very well, which is not good. I mean, they need the starting five to do well all the time.
Yeah.
And they'll be fine until, I don't know, maybe mid-January when they start getting into the nitty-gritty of the Pac-12.
It gets tough.
When it gets tough. It gets tougher. I don't think it's tough because the Pac-12, and what have I said all year? It's not very good. So if it's not very good, they're going to have a hard time getting into the tournament if they don't win enough games, because the league is so bad.
Yeah, they're not going to get prepared well, you know. They're just they have a
soft set schedule. So the schedule will determine how well or the committee looks at them down the road when they review the games that they won and lost.
Because even if they have a great schedule, if they've played, you know, Eastern Alabama Southern Girls Club team, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. In fact, this week or last week after a game, and I asked Sean about playing games where they're closer than the 30-point games, he kind of didn't answer the question. He more so defended his schedule and how they're doing against the schedule. And that's fine. I mean, he wanted to make a point of how the schedule was for this team, and It was said it was good enough. It was good.
Yeah, I remember him saying that. I was.
It was my question. Yeah, because the question wasn't regarding that. It was more about playing closer teams or games that played or teams that played closer to them rather than winning in 30-point games.
Well, I mean, still though, defending, I just kind of. Most everybody thinks it's kind of a light schedule. But
oh, yeah, sure. But what's he going to do? Of course he's going to try to defend the schedule. That's what he does. And that's fine. Hey, if you want to call in, please do. I have my next giveaway for Tino's Pizza. I'm grateful to Tino's. They're a new sponsor. And this week or today, we're going to do it every day for the next 20 days or 19 days because we started it on Friday.
Wow.
This will be a two-slice giveaway. And you can use this coupon for anything else you want off the menu. So you can use this towards something if you want something else or just the two slices.
And where is Tino's?
Tino's
located?
Is on Tankaverde. Tankaverde. I don't have the address because I don't have the coupon in front of me. They're in the bank slot as we have it here or whatever we kind of call it. But two slices of free pizza if you're the first person to call in today and ask for the pizza. If you'd like, please give me a call and talk to me about the UA weekend, what you think about the team. Where do you think they're going to go down the road? Any predictions? I know when I post my stories on the internet, I get a lot of feedback from the fans. Some are very high on this team, and some are not so high on this team. But a lot of them are really appreciative of how hard they play compared to last year's team when they didn't get a sense that they played very hard because they were so talented. And you know, you've seen those teams. When you're not so talented, you don't think you have to work as hard or play as hard because you think your talent alone will win the game.
That makes sense. So looks like it's like kind of across the street from Trail to Town.
Oh, yeah.
And Tankaverde before you get to Kolb.
It's near Sakura and all those other ones, but it's on Tankaverde. A great pizza. I had pizza there, I think, Wednesday. And Dino does a great job there at Tino's Pizza. And so for the next 18 days after today, we'll have giveaways every day, either two slices of pizza or a free 12-inch pizza to go visit and enjoy their pizza and see what you like out of them. And then you can kind of hang out there every now and again. They have TVs, beer, sodas, obviously. A great place on Tankaverde. Thank you, Dino, for doing that. And I know they're huge UA basketball fans. I've known them for a long time. So the basketball team is doing okay after a loss. It's, you know, it's always either up or down or disaster or whatever. And the girls team won yesterday. So they're now 8-1 and doing very, very well.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. So Pancho is in San Diego, but he wanted to talk to you. So we still have the two slices from Tino's available to call
give away. Yeah, yep. Great. Pancho, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Fine, Pancho. Good to talk to you again. What's going on?
First of all, how was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
It was a good weekend, a busy weekend. A lot of things going on in Tucson. But but yeah, then yesterday's game, just watched the game and just evaluated that didn't change my mind in whether how good they are or how bad they are. I mean, they're just a team trying to tread water right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that yesterday was much of an indication of what's going to happen in the season. I think their record right now is right about where it should be. Maybe by the end of the non-conference schedule, if they stay at this pace and finish 10-3, that's probably par for this team. It's funny how the expectations at the beginning of the year were kind of low, and I mean, if you go back to, you know, last season after everything started to fall apart, even Greg Hansen went so far as to say this could be Sean Miller's worst team, and they could go 0-18, you know, and that was a little bit of an overreaction, obviously, but I think they're right where they are. They have a pretty decent shot at finishing over 500, but yesterday was a perfect example of what I tell my wife when we're watching basketball frequently. I'm like, wow, when teams make shots, they sure look like a good basketball team. And when teams miss shot, it sure looks like they stink.
Right.
It's kind of like baseball when good pitching beats good hitting. And sometimes you just don't match up well and you don't have a good game and you can't get runners on base. You can't move them over and you can't bring them in. And I think that's kind of what happened yesterday. I saw that they took 70 shots though, and I think that's an extremely high number. Well, the pace, and that's a lot of misses.
Yeah, the pace is better than it has been in the past, but I agree with you. And they missed a lot of chippies. They missed a lot of chippies that should have gone down. They didn't. Did you see the game? You watched the game?
I did watch the Alabama game. I wasn't able to see Utah Valley. I have it DVR'd, and I don't know if I'll watch it or not, but I don't, you know, it's interesting to see that they played so well in the second half, and Sean Miller was very pleased, and, you know, people were jumping back on the bandwagon, and then this happens on the road early in the morning against a SEC school that obviously can recruit athletes across the board. I wouldn't call that an upset.
No, it wasn't. You know, I think you've followed me long enough to know that this is one of my mantras, is that every game is a season. And how you played last week doesn't mean how you play this week, and who you play against matters, and how they play matters, style of the fight and all that. I do think that Alabama is maybe a team that could finish fourth or fifth in this league, in the Pac-12. What does that mean? Well, they'll be right along par with Arizona.
Yeah. I think the difference in the game, besides obviously the poor shooting, was the last 2 minutes. I think you may have mentioned this in your article, when they gave up 3 offensive rebounds. And so those 3 possessions turned into 6 possessions, and actually I think 6 or maybe 7 points. The guy might have missed the and one, but that was a killer. And that's been something that I've predicted all season long, and I think I said that when I called in previously, that once we get into conference play, if we match up poorly with some big front courts, it's going to be a problem. I don't know how. And then Alabama at the rim, I noticed it too. They did miss a lot of shots at the rim, but most of them were contested. Alabama played pretty hard on defense. The second thing I noticed is that it appeared that Alabama wanted to make sure Justin Coleman didn't have a good game, and it seemed like there was somebody close to him at all times. And then a third thing I noticed, and it was obvious at the beginning of the game, when the second squad came in, and then later in the game, they also had Ira Lee and Ryan Luther on the floor at the same time, and Jeter and Acott were out, and that's night and day.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's terrible substitution, and I'm wondering if, you know, not that Miller is a terrible coach because he makes the substitution, but he has to figure out who works and who doesn't. But I think everybody was pretty excited about Ryan Luther showing up. We thought a fifth-year guy from the ACC, he's going to be able to really contribute. And thus far, I haven't seen a whole lot from him in terms of talent that's going to make a big difference. His effort is fine. I mean, he can make shots, but I don't know that he's going to help us in the front court a whole lot.
He hasn't done that a whole heck of a lot. Do you have time to stay around for a little on the other side of the break?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, we'll go to break here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this. Thanks, Poncho, for calling in.
No problem.
Aren't you tired of listening to your lady complain about how her bra hurts? Here at the Bra Spa, we fit bras for a living. Buy your gal a gift card and we'll make all of her bra fit woes go away. You know that you're going to give her a gift card for Christmas, so get it now. You give me $100, I'll give you a gift card for $115. You give me $200 and I'll give you a gift card for $230. We'll get a comfy bra for her and a sexy bra for you. The Bra Spa on East Tankaverde Road.
The manicured lawns, the soothing fountains, and the dining room that rival some of the finest restaurants in town. Are you at a 5-star resort? No. Actually, it's even better. You're at Fellowship Square, Tucson's only Christian-based retirement community. Fellowship Square offers quality, active senior living as well as compassionate assisted living. Call 886-5537 now to schedule a lunch tour on us or at fellowshipsquareseniorliving.org. And happy holidays from everyone at Fellowship Square Tucson.
So what do you want for Christmas, Ralphie, my boy?
I thought it over, and Mom's right. I might shoot my eye out. So I really want a new bike from Aho Bikes. They have the BMX that I've had my eye on, a mountain bike for Mom, a recumbent three-wheeler for Grandpa, and an electric bike so Grandma can keep up with him.
Tubes, tires, parts, and service for recumbent and tandem, road, mountain, and electric bikes. Aho Bikes, 1301 East Aho, 294-1434.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy! Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at that crowd here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org/AZ. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The man and the legend, John C. Scott on politics, from 3 to 5 p.m. on KVOI, AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI, AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, we're back here with Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera on KVOI 1030 AM. Hey, Pancho, just real quick, just to get back to a point. I'm not sure, you talked about the bench and with Ira Lee and the other one, I lost his name. Brian Luther. I'm not sure why I keep forgetting his name. But
I was calling him Ryan Lochte yesterday, so we got the same thing going on. Maybe right. Not the most memorable guy for some reason.
Right. So, well, maybe because he hasn't done enough yet. But where do you go to when you're going to go to this bench? That's the tough part. I mean, there's not much there.
You got to play your starters longer. Sub one at a time. You know, another thing I've noticed too is although I think he's kind of a gym rat, and by this junior or senior year, that Barcelo kid may be effective. He looks like a high school kid out there.
I know.
The floor. He's smaller than I realized. And I don't think he's going to get a whole lot of playing time. I do like Akot. I think the more minutes Akot gets, the better he's going to be as well. He's kind of freakishly athletic.
Right. He just needs to be more productive in what he's doing. You know, he came in as a five-star guy. He just hasn't found his way yet.
No. He'll get there, though, I got a feeling. And then another interesting thing, projecting forward to next year with this recruiting class coming in, the competition for minutes from both sides, the new kids coming in are going to have to, you know, fight that whole disillusionment phase where, oh my gosh, I was told that all these great things were going to happen when I get to Arizona, and there's quite a good crew coming back. And then the crew coming back as well, maybe they're going to be the ones who get a little disillusioned. And maybe Tucson is kind of like me, maybe fast forwarding to next year, which is probably a common theme in Wildcat sports often. But that's going to be interesting to see how that works out, based on how much progression and development occurs this year, which is obviously got to be Coach Miller's number one priority. He wants to win this year, of course, and wants to, you know, go as far as he can. But I think he knows that next year is going to be the year he's putting the eggs in the basket towards, so to speak.
Right. Well, Pancho, thanks for calling in. We have another caller on the line. I always appreciate you calling in.
Sure, no problem. Have a great day.
Right, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We have Judith on the line.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Judith. I thought it was you. Did you hear our interview with Joseph?
Oops. I'm so sorry, Judith. Sometimes sometimes you hit one button and it disappears. But
okay. She can call back.
Call back, Judith.
Call back. We have some time.
And I'll
call
guard
as soon
you.
As you can, too. That'd be great. I'm sorry about that. Here she is. She's on the phone. Are you there, Judith?
Was it something I said?
No. It was something Bob did. I think you hit the wrong button. Hey, I was going to ask you, because we don't have a whole heck of a lot of time, but did you listen to Joseph on the line I had?
No. I didn't today?
Yeah, I had him from the 10:20 or 1:20 to 1:30 mark.
I've been in the cemetery visiting my other kidney.
Oh.
No, I just tuned in. I wanted to say we may have been outplayed instead of not only outplayed. Avery Johnson is one of the strongest Christian coaches I've ever met. I used to take Jonathan Joseph to the back door of the Rockets when Avery played there and came out there where we met him, sat at a table with him at the FCA banquet. Good quality players, but good guy as a coach, too.
Yeah, no, he was great. I knew he was with the Spurs. I saw him down there a few times when Sean was playing. I think that was when Sean was playing down there, Sean Elliott. But yeah, and good coach too. We'll see how he does at Alabama. Did you watch the game yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, that first 15 minutes was not very good. They had too much to fight back from, and then they kind of just lost it late in the second half.
Right. It's a team sport. Got to learn good chemistry and working in the square behind the basket's there for a reason. on those easy, inside shots, but we're a work in progress.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he says that all the time, work in progress. And if you, they're not good enough to have a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So, I miss Joseph. Did my son do well?
He does well. He did well. He always does well. He just got back from his trip. I guess they play here in the next couple of days or so. But they had that big win over the weekend, a one-point victory.
The one-point, great ending to that game. Really good. Made up for the previous game where they had lost substantially. But it's not consistent. He had two players, I think, injured, and then they're going up and down from Houston, so you don't know for sure what you have to work with for any great length of time. So
right.
I think he's happy there and doing a good job, and God is good. Both my sons are doing well.
Good, good, good. Hey, thanks for calling in, Judith. I appreciate
it.
Good to hear from you.
God bless you guys.
Sure, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Judith Joseph Blair's mom. I always see her everywhere around town. She's everywhere, so, almost like a stalker. I tease her about that. So last week I said, are you following me? Are you following me? So if you didn't watch the game, see, you didn't miss much, Bob, from the basketball game.
Well, I spared myself. Maybe I should have watched another repeat.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was funny from last week. We'll see. They'll get better. They'll get better. How much better, I do not know, because if they are who they are, well, they're going to stay this way because their bench is what it is. He has little to go with and not a lot of production there. There'll be times, a few times more, where they won't get much. I mean, if they get 6 points to 10 points from them collectively, that's not good. But I think you'll see that more than not, because the starters are going to be asked to do more and have more of a role and try to do as much as they can to get this team going. I think the road in the Pac-12 is going to be tough because they're still so young and still have a lot to learn.
He's got some cards to pull out of the under his sleeve for next year, though, right?
Oh yeah, plenty of cards.
Yeah.
Are you a patient man, Bob?
Yes.
See, I think he is. If he's not, he'll have to be. Because this group is going to probably wear him thin in terms of days when they just don't play very well. We'll see.
I'll wait.
Hey, we'll come back on the other side. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is I in the Ball. We'll be right back for the second hour here on 1030 KVOI, Trusted Local News and Talk.